My name is Tony Litt. I'm the MD of Sunrise Radio, and it's my immense pleasure to bring you the official Sunrise Radio podcast. We are the number one commercial Asian station in the United Kingdom, with many firsts to our name, and we continue to be the voice of British Asians who have given us their love and loyalty over 30 years. It's a legacy we cherish and a responsibility that we don't take lightly. Our aim has always been to entertain the listeners with the best of Bollywood and Bhangra, while also addressing their concerns. A real voice for the community, a vibrant community, and a great nation. We are proud to be British and Asian. This podcast is a compilation of some of the things we do on the station, with a stellar lineup of presenters who each have their own personality and style. It's entertaining, informative, engaging, and we hope you will enjoy it here as a podcast if you are unable to tune in to the radio. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your family and friends about this podcast. And do leave us a comment on what you think. We'd love to hear from you. All the best always. Team Sunrise. The UK's
biggest station mix. Sunrise Radio. This is Anushka Arora. As always, lovely to have your company for the Sunrise Radio podcast. And this week, I have another special guest on the show. Here we are, Content Creator Week Day 2. I am joined by Body by Ekam.
Hello.
Welcome to Sunrise. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so happy you're here today. Actually, one of my favourite topics to discuss is health and fitness.
I'm excited.
All right, Ekam, so let's start. Let's start with your journey. Let's start. You tell me how you got into becoming a PT. You know, you have your own gym. So tell me a little bit about that journey.
So I started my fitness journey in 2016 during my last year of uni. Obviously, uni, as it does for a lot of people, you have loads of takeaway, you're drinking a lot. Yeah. So my weight had gone up quite a lot and I was in a place where I was very insecure and not really confident in myself. And I just decided to take the plunge in my final year, kind of just trialing and erroring my own stuff. And then, yeah, it just kind of stuck from there. And I think I fell into personal training just from documenting my own journey on Instagram. It was never the goal to be a PT or be self-employed. Oh, wow. So I kind of really fell into it, but I am very grateful.
Oh, that's amazing. And tell us a little bit about your brand, your gym, Body by Ekam. I mean, you say that it is a female-led brand. So talk to me a little bit about that side of it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it being a female-led brand, I guess coming out my own journey and seeing the change in myself, I completely feel like I am a different person to who I was like 8-9 years ago. And I'm probably the last person anyone thought would become a PT. Like, it was not expected. And I think seeing that change, even just me becoming an extrovert, being more social, being able to talk and be in uncomfortable situations and stuff, seeing that change in myself, I just thought, wow, like, I want to do that with other women.
Yeah.
And I've seen that. I've seen women join my team and I've seen them literally transform their lives in front of me, and I just can't believe it. And I think we just want to help as many women as we can. And I think especially within like the South Asian culture, there are a lot of women who are not happy or confident or insecure. And I'm kind of there to be like, well, that can change.
Yeah,
it takes a lot, but it can change.
Yes, absolutely. Now, there is this notion of, there's a view of women training and weight, okay? Now, I used to be one of those before I started my fitness journey. I remember going to the gym one day and this PT approached me and he's like, oh, you know how, he was just asking me what I do. And at that point in time, I obviously knew nothing about like being in the gym. I was just literally on the treadmill, you know, doing like a 40 minute like walk and that was it. And then he was like, why don't you have a taster session with me? And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, oh, I don't want to train weights because I don't want to be too bulky. So that, I think that, you know, some people do have that perception, but talk us through how important weight training is, especially for women.
So I think, and a lot of them can agree with this, when you want to go to a PT or you want to start your journey, it's always, I want to tone up.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose weight, but I want to tone up.
Yeah.
And basically toning up comes from weight training. Mm. And it's very simple when you look at the structure of, is calories in versus calories out. So as long as you are burning more calories than you are consuming, you will lose body fat, you will lose weight.
Mm.
If you start consuming more calories than you are burning, that is when the bulky idea comes. So you are not going to get bulky, you are not going to get muscly unless you are eating too much, but the whole point is not to.
Yeah.
So once you kind of explain that to people, they start to understand. And I think weight training is so important because for the women who want to tone up and shape up, and I know there's a lot of women out there who want the hourglass figure and all that kind of stuff, like that comes from creating a shape. And I come from a background of bodybuilding, and that is literally changing the shape of your body through weight training. I've seen women who have had issues like sciatica and stuff, you know, get in a position where they don't really have any pain anymore. I've seen clients who have knee pain where that's actually stopped because of weight training. It's so important, not just in terms of shaping your body and aesthetics, but also just your health and your wellness.
Yeah.
We have like grandmothers on the team,
know,
and it's amazing because they come for PT every week and they're lifting and they're hip thrusting. And, you know, like health is wealth, you know, it's so important. And weight training plays such a massive role in that.
Yeah. Oh, that is so inspirational. That is really inspirational. Like, I want to be like, when I'm going to be 70, 75, 80, I still want to be training at the gym.
100%. Yeah. 100%. It's so good. And you do, like, honestly, my own transformation, I tell you, I look younger.
Yeah.
You know, I look older 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I've actually aged backwards. Like, when I show people, they can't believe it. And
I think
that's what it can do.
I saw that picture that you posted on Instagram. My God. Like, my God. In all honesty, that did not look like you. It didn't. It really didn't.
I think sometimes it's a bit of imposter syndrome because you can't actually believe.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm so used to it now that I don't see what you guys see anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when people are like, I don't believe I see you, I'm like, yeah, that was me, but that wasn't me. Because that's a whole different ikum. Like, yeah. I'm a whole different person now. And it's amazing. And to see that, and for, you know, for people to see my transformation, I'm thinking, well, that could be you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, Ikum, I think also, you know, weight gain, weight loss, body shaming, I mean, it's a bit of a tricky one because, you know, some people, you just end up generally having a conversation about like weight. You know, sometimes it's, oh, you've lost so much weight, or, oh, you look really well. Do you think that is a healthy conversation, or do you feel like somebody would get offended by that? I mean, which way does this go?
I think it's really tricky because it depends on the person, it depends on the environment, it depends how the question is asked. I know for me, when I started my weight loss journey, it was so amazing to have people say to me, oh, have you lost weight? Like, oh, you look really good. Because you're doing this journey and, you know, we're all human. We all enjoy a bit of external validation. We all deserve a bit of validation.
Yeah.
So for strangers or work colleagues or family members or friends to comment on your weight loss, it's a good feeling. It's that kind of positive reaffirmation of like, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. I feel good. People can notice it. Otherwise, it's easy to be on your journey and feel a bit disheartened, you know, if the scale weight doesn't move or you can't see the changes. So I know for me, it was nice. And for a lot of my clients, like, they will check in with me weekly and say, my colleague said that I look really good. Like, they've asked me questions. I'm like, fantastic. That's one way you can measure progress is compliments.
Yeah.
However, if you flip it on its head and there may be someone who is trying to gain weight and, you know, has a past of maybe anorexia or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, they go to work and someone says, oh, you know, you've lost a bit of weight or something. Obviously, that's hard because that's not what they're trying to do. And I think how you word it is super important and how you say it. I think if it was me and I was in like a work environment and I could see someone had lost weight, I might say, oh, you look really good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Are you doing anything right now? You know, you look fantastic. And it's just how you say it because you don't really know anyone's journey. But let's say for the majority of women who are trying to lose weight, it's a nice thing. It's a nice compliment. And it can go a long way. But just how you word it. And also maybe from a cultural perspective is hard because I know with my own journey growing up, I was also always called like Moti and stuff like that, you know?
And
it's a joke to an extent, but it does kind of leave a mark.
Yeah.
But the problem is as well is in our culture, you know, one minute you could be called a bit overweight, a bit chubby. And then when you do something about it, it's, oh, you don't look well. Your eyes are something. You've lost too much weight.
So true.
So I think also for a lot of people, it's, you know, this is your journey. Yeah. It's your body. You know, something we need to do as women in the South Asian community is build thicker skin.
Yeah.
And I say to a lot of my clients, you know, take it in one ear, out the other.
Yeah.
Do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Tell them, okay, thanks very much for the advice.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. And then carry on because, you know, no one's going to respect your journey or support your journey like you will for yourself. So you just have to put the utmost respect on it yourself.
Yeah.
So building that thicker skin will definitely help. And that's something I think each individual who's on any type of fitness journey needs to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's also talk about food. Like, you know, working out is great. You know, you're spending that 1 hour in the gym really going for it or whatever, you know, whatever exercise you are doing. But the rest of those 23 hours, what is going on your plate is probably more important than what you are doing for that 1 hour in the gym. Food wise, like, how do you explain this to your clients so that they understand, like, you have to eat well also in addition to working out?
Yeah, so I'm a big foodie.
Yeah.
I love food.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a lot of women who come on the team who come from a past of binge eating,
yeah,
comfort eating. I've been there myself,
yeah,
so I understand. And we've come from an upbringing of do not waste food,
yeah,
you know? And that's very hard to change that narrative and mindset that you've been taught growing up. And, you know, nutrition is 80% of your journey. You can't outrun a bad diet.
Yeah.
So, but all in moderation, right?
Yeah.
So I very much have to, as much as I'm a PT and an online coach, I feel like I'm a bit of a mindset coach because I really have to change my clients' thought process on how they look at food. And even my own, coming from a bodybuilding background, like, we all love food, but you have to remember, you know, your favorite food isn't running away.
Yeah.
There's going to be samosa forever.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not one day, like, no one's going to ever make samosas again. And you have to just remind yourself that I'm not going to let this food control me.
Yeah.
I will choose when I want to eat it.
Yeah.
And you have to have that mental talk with yourself. Mm. And that's something I did a lot with myself, you know, when I was in my bodybuilding preps, because that was a very regimented approach. For a lot of my clients who are lifestyle clients, it's very much like 80% be on it, 20% enjoy.
Yeah.
As long as you're smashing your goals, you're having your meals, you're, yeah, staying within your calories, and you're getting your workouts in. If you want to go out with the family for a nice meal once a week, that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's very much, you know, I don't want to sell my clients a dream either. So I do make it very clear to them that, you know, the more you go off plan, the slower the results.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, what's more important? This is a short-term sacrifice. But I think if you can learn how to portion control, if you can understand how to have a mix of protein, fats and carbs,
yeah,
and you start being more mindful with your food choices, you'll find that balance of feeling like you can enjoy your favorite foods, but it's not coming from a bad or negative place or,
yeah,
binge eating kind of place. So, you know, yes, you can train and you can go to the gym 5-6 times, but you need to work on that relationship with food. And unfortunately for a lot of women, we don't have the best relationship with food.
Yeah.
So before you can even worry about weight loss or weight gain, you need to make sure you're in a good position with your food relationship.
Yeah. I think it's also like really small changes as well. Like, for me personally, one example would probably be like, instead of having, when I'm craving something sweet, I won't run to like having milk chocolate anymore. It's always dark chocolate, you know?
Yeah.
So like small things like that, or like having a date instead, or because that's more natural sugars and all of that. So I think small steps like,
exactly,
really help. And like you said earlier, it really is all about the mindset, isn't it? It is just training yourself, your mind so much, and then I think eventually your body does get used to it and you don't even run to those kinds of foods,
yeah,
anymore.
Exactly. I mean, some of my clients, they'll get so used to eating clean and healthy that,
yeah,
when they go for a takeaway, you know, they check in and they're just like, my body just isn't sitting right, my digestion's all,
yes,
over the place, because you've got to a place you're eating clean whole foods and that feels good. So as,
yeah,
soon as you have a takeaway, like, not that it's not a like it's a problem,
yeah, yeah,
but you'll feel the difference in your body, and that's where you start changing your habits, because you want to feel good internally as well as externally.
Absolutely.
And that comes through what you put in your body.
Yeah. Another interesting, like, you know, conversation and question that often comes about in my head anyway is protein and protein powder. I mean, like, and supplements and food supplements and all of that. I mean, what is your view on, like, I personally don't take any protein powder. Like, I would always try and take, like, you know, a protein, like, or a chicken, meat, fish or whatever, or tofu or whatever it is. But what is your view on this whole, like, adding protein powder to,
I mean, it's completely up to you, but I think with South Asian culture in the background, you know, we have we don't eat enough protein. You know, it's a lot of lentils and chickpeas. And I have clients who are like, can I have this as protein? And I'm like, that's not protein.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of education to my clients around protein and supplements. And personally, for me, I take protein powder. That's probably the only supplement I really take. You don't need to take anything extra. Some people take things like creatine. But the reason I take protein powder is because I like to have a source of protein in every meal. And the more protein you have, the better recovery, the better muscle growth, and you feel fuller for longer. So it's actually having enough protein to be smart when it comes to your eating habits and your food choices. So if I'm having, for example, chicken for lunch, you know, maybe prawns for dinner, like I just want to have something like maybe some nice protein whey in my oats in the morning, or maybe a shake after I finish the gym. And it's just, it's not a necessity, but I know for myself, I don't want to eat that much meat throughout the day. It's a good way to change it up. And you know, you can have things like Greek yogurt, cottage cheese. We have a lot of vegetarian and vegan clients on the team.
How does that work with them? I find it really difficult. Like on my veggie days, I'm like, I just feel like I don't get enough protein. So I'm just like, you know, where do I get that protein from with being vegetarian?
To be honest, I feel like now it's so much easier to diet and be on your fitness journey than it was like back in 2016 when I first started, because I know not a lot of people are keen on like the processed fake meats and stuff.
But
I think it's just basically understanding that you got to figure out that, you know, there's a strategy to it. So you don't have to have the fake meat forever. But even if it's short term to get you to your initial goal and then being able to wean it out, it's about understanding that, it might not be the best thing for you, but you kind of have to like pick and choose your battles. You can't have just a carbohydrate and fat based diet. Obviously for our vegan and vegetarian clients, we give them the option of protein whey. They can also have the option of like veggie protein options. There's so many options now. Some are much cleaner than others. And also they have the option of like, you know, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese. So there are a lot of protein options out there. We have clients who are vegetarian but eat eggs and stuff. But for someone who, let's say, doesn't want to have the fake meats and doesn't eat egg, I would recommend the protein whey. Just to get a little bit of protein in there. It's so important and it goes so underrated, but it will make a massive difference to even how you shape your body and how full you feel. And that's really important. Otherwise, it'll be hard for the journey to be sustainable. So I think you have to think about what your options are and understand that you do need the protein. Where it comes from is up to you, but you can't say no to everything. So you have to pick and choose, and it's not forever.
Interesting. All right, 1:41, let's take a quick break. And actually, I do really want to talk to you about your bodybuilding journey. So, so Ekim, you've mentioned bodybuilding a couple of times. Talk us through your bodybuilding journey. Like, you used to be a bodybuilder?
I mean, I think that was kind of a trademark that I created for myself. Again, just naturally, being on my journey since 2016, I naturally fell into bodybuilding after a few years because I wanted to test my discipline and my mental resilience. Bodybuilding is very, it's not for like the weak-minded or faint-hearted. It's very, very tough. But I wanted to challenge myself and do something I'd never done before. And, you know, I think that's probably the most accomplishing thing I've ever done in a sense. And it's, I've done 3 seasons of bodybuilding and I've now hung up my heels. And, you know, I started my first show in 2020 just after lockdown. And it honestly taught me a lot. Like, the discipline and mental resilience that I've built from doing bodybuilding shows and preps has allowed me to excel in my career, has allowed me to improve myself as a person. So it's good because, again, the discipline that my clients learn on their journeys, which is a much more different approach, they can still take into other aspects of their lives. So bodybuilding was a really important thing to get me to where I am. It kind of got me to my ideal physique goal. It made me test my, you know, mental resilience and really put me through it, you know? And I love it. I love it. And I think I got to a point where I'd done 3 seasons and I realized, you know, I've done everything I want. I made a name for myself as, you know, one of the first South Asian female bodybuilders.
I was just going to come to you being a South Asian bodybuilder. Like, in terms of like family, how did they take to that? I mean, because it's not like a, I don't want to use the word normal.
Yeah.
It's not like an everyday thing that we see a South Asian being a bodybuilder.
Yeah, I'm really grateful because I feel like I opened that door a little bit more, because from when I first competed in 2020, there were probably no...
Yeah.
You know, people of colour backstage.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing more and more Asian women stepping into bodybuilding, which I absolutely love. And I've built a community myself of other girls who are prepping, who are also from that background, which is amazing. And my family, like, I am so grateful for them because they have let me grow up and kind of given me the control to kind of do what I need to do in my life and figure out who I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been to my shows and they've supported me. It's come along with uncomfortable conversations as well,
yeah,
you know,
I'm
having
sure.
to explain to them being on stage in a bikini and heels. But I think if you look at it from the aspect of it is a sport and it's a physique sport.
Yeah.
But I'm very grateful because I do know I have friends whose parents have not been so supportive with it, and it's not easy. But yeah, my family have been there and supported me. I think they're at a point now where they're like very glad that I finished it, and I don't blame them. It's very restrictive, and one of the reasons why I finished the sport is also because I'm just ready to now give back to my loved ones.
Yeah.
I spent years focusing on me and being selfish, and I'm forever grateful for that, but now it's time to give back to everyone who supported me for the last few years.
Do you think it's selfish though? Like, do you think that's the right word to use?
Yeah.
Really?
Bodybuilding is a very selfish sport because your prep is the number one thing.
Yeah.
Nothing can overpower your prep. Not your job, not your relationship, not your friends, not your family. You cannot let anything stray you off. It is selfish. You know, it can make or break relationships. It can cause so many issues. But with a good support system, which I'm so grateful to have, it can really be everything you need to kind of excel in your life. And I'm so grateful that I got to experience that. And I've been able to do, you know, preps with friends alongside me who are going through the same thing. And it is selfish because everyone has to accept that you're not going to put anything else first.
Yeah.
And all my friends and family accepted that and let me do what I need to do for 3 seasons, for 3 years straight.
Wow.
And that's why now I feel like it's my turn to give back.
Oh, that is lovely. Yeah. That is really, really lovely. Now, I have some questions for you, okay? So there's a little bit of a game.
Yeah.
This or that, okay? So you tell me what you prefer out of meal planning or tracking calories?
Tracking calories. I love the flexibility.
Yeah. Home workouts or gym workouts?
Gym workouts, because I love a hip thrust machine.
Oh, we love a hip thrust. Nando's or Indian food?
I mean, I did bodybuilding, so of course I love chicken and rice. It has to be Nando's.
Morning workout or evening workout? This is quite interesting, actually.
You know what? I am a morning girly. I always do CrossFit or Pilates fasted in the morning.
Okay.
And I tend to train bodybuilding style around midday, but you won't catch me in the evening.
No,
never.
not an evening girly. Upper body or lower body?
Of course, lower body.
Lower
we
body,
all want
yeah.
the nice thick legs.
Hip thrust or squats?
Hip thrust forever.
Oh my God. All right. So myth or fact, you can't have carbs after 6 p.m.
Myth.
Yeah?
Yeah.
South Asian diet has a good amount of protein in it.
Myth. Uh-huh. It's got a good amount of carbs in it.
Yeah, that we know. Doing cardio will tone you up.
Myth.
Fasted cardio can burn more fat.
Fact. It can tap into your fat stores if you do it first thing in the morning, so it can help.
Great. I'm going to have to do cardio first thing in the morning now. When you stop strength training, muscle turns into fat.
That is a myth, because they are two different tissues. They cannot transform into each other.
All right. You're not supposed to feel sore and have DOMS after every workout.
Fact. Just because you're sore doesn't mean it's good. If you're getting sore, that means your recovery probably isn't the best.
Oh my God. Yeah. What do you want me to do then?
I know.
God,
listen,
tell me.
The first couple of times it's okay, but what you want to do is feel like you can bounce back into your sessions without feeling like you're too sore to push.
Right.
I think we all kind of think, oh, if I'm sore, I've worked out. But actually, it just means your recovery is slower.
Great.
So it means your next session's going to be harder.
Great. I really get DOMS. Like, it is so funny. Because the next day, I'm like, oh, I'm all right. I'm okay. And then the day after, I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, it's a good feeling. It's a good pain, isn't it? So it's easy to think that.
But
as long as you're not having it too regularly.
Yeah. Okay. All right, miss. We understand. Ekim, listen, thank you so much for coming in today. It has been so lovely talking to you. I honestly feel like that really wasn't enough time because I still have so many questions. But thank you so much for all your inspirational stuff that you've spoken about. Your journey alone is just incredible. Like, it is so incredible.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you so much, Ekim. And we'll see you soon in the gym.
Bye.
Listen to our Bollywood queen, Anushka Arora, from 12 noon to 4 p.m. weekdays on Sunrise.